Well, I know what's happened to each and every one of us who are gathered here today. You're driving in your car on a warm summer day when all of a sudden a big bug comes flying around and splatters right on the windshield right in front of you. It's at eye level. It is right in your sight line. Now, the troubling thing is that even though the stain might be only about the size of a quarter, you can't stop looking at it. You try to look above it. You try to look below it. Or you try to look around it. But for some reason, your eyes just keep coming back on that spot. You try to distract yourself, but you cannot escape this blob. Now then, of course, you might do what I have periodically tried to do. You try to wash it off with your washer fluid and your windshield wipers. The problem is, of course, is that you just then spread all this bug stuff around. You continue to have a remnant that you just can't seem to disappear. Now, this illustration, in many ways, is very much like when we make a big mistake, when we have sinned and when we have failed in life, when we have done something that we regret, when we have done something that we feel sorry about, when we have done something that we wish would simply go away. It's also an illustration of what happens when we are wounded, when we are hurt deeply by someone else, by something they have done, a sin that they have done maybe toward us, or an event or some kind of an activity that has happened. The problem is that these sins and hurts that we have committed, as well as the sins and the hurts that somebody else may have done to us, are like stains on the windshields of our lives. You can't look around it, you can't ignore it, and you can't simply forget it, no matter how hard you try. These things seem to pop up in the middle of the night when you're not able to sleep. You just can't stop thinking about or obsessing about your guilt and maybe that hurt in your life. And being around people that you may have hurt or who may have hurt you often reopens the hurts and the pain, reopens those feelings that are there. Now, I don't want you to, you don't have to raise your hand, but don't lie when you think about this. How many of you are at Target or at the grocery store and you're going along and you see someone that you have done something to or someone that hurt you, and what do? You duck into this aisle, you go around. I don't want to see that person face to face, because whenever I see that person, it brings back a memory of something that happened or some hurt or pain that is there. So the it's personal focus of my message today is on this very important and a very personal message called forgiveness. How do we find and experience forgiveness? And how do we experience peace in our hearts? Truth is that the Bible, as the Bible states so clearly, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us sins, and every one of us has had sins that have happened to us. We've all failed. Every one of us, we've all dropped the ball, we've all blown it at times, and we have all hurt others and had others hurt us. So we know what it is to feel guilty about the things that we have done. And we also know what it is to feel guilty about those things that we may have left undone. Now, Psalm 130 is a psalm that, and if you want personal things about life and forgiveness and struggles, I think the psalms are a great place to turn. And one of those, Psalm 130, talks about this feeling of what it is to confront those sins in our lives. So the psalmist says, "Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your what?
Ears be attentive
to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept
record of sins,"
Lord, who could stand? Let's think of, he kept a record of everything that we've done wrong, everything, you know, who of us could even survive in life? But with you there is what?
Forgiveness.
So that we can, with reverence serve you. With God, there is forgiveness so that we can serve God and live for Him each day. It is in God's love and mercy that we can be set free. It is in God's love and mercy that we can find forgiveness. Arthur Miller, in his well-known play, Death of a Salesman, features the character Willie Loman, who is coming to the end of his life with the realization that his life has been a total failure. Early in his career, he'd had an extramarital affair while on a business trip. His son, Biff, on a surprise visit, catches his dad in a hotel room with this woman. His son, therefore, sees his father as a cheap, pathetic man. And Willie Loman is racked with guilt for this sin and for this damage that he has done to his son. Well, in one part of the play, while Willie is talking to his adoring and faithful wife, the woman with whom he committed adultery walks across the stage, invisible to everyone but to Willie himself. She is talking to him. She is plaguing him. She is mocking him. She is reminding him and bringing back the memory of his sin. Well, I think this whole scene in Death of a Salesman is an accurate depiction of guilt. All Christians, like every other person, have ghosts. We all have ghosts of the past that may haunt us daily. And these voices of yesterday can be so piercing that they drown out the voice of Jesus, who can wipe away our sin, who can wipe away our sin with His amazing grace. Now, a commercial many years ago for a financial firm made the statement, "We make money the old-fashioned way, we earn it." Unfortunately, that work ethic has been really hammered into the minds of many of us, and I think many of us, especially in my generation, which are here today. It has been hammered into us, the idea that you get what you deserve, right? You got to buck it up because you get exactly what you deserve. You are the one that is going to somehow have to measure up. You have to measure up to those expectations that you have of yourself. And sometimes we have really high expectations. Maybe some of us here are still trying to live up to the expectations that we feel our parents, even though maybe our parents are gone, we still are trying to live up to those expectations. Or maybe there was a religious person, a pastor, somebody that we know that we felt, I got to live up to this expectation. Maybe it was a grandma, or maybe it was somebody else, a pastor or a school teacher, maybe at a parochial school. All of us have those expectations, and somehow we have that feeling in us that we got to work harder to try to add up, to try to make it in life. But then, however, we hear the gospel promise, which tells us that we cannot earn God's forgiveness by working harder. And many of us struggle with that message that we hear every week. The Bible tells us that God accepts us by His grace. He loves us and accepts us on the basis of what Christ has done for us, not on the basis of what we try to do. No matter how hard we try to work, we can't do any more than what God has already done for us. Ah, but Satan is the master of deception. He keeps telling us that we need to do more, right? Keeps telling us you got to do more. He tells us, you know, you need to really suffer more for those sins that you did. You need to suffer a little bit in your life. He tells us, you know, you have not been good enough to be forgiven. Who do you think you are to be forgiven? The pastor's coming to church and tells us that you're forgiven, but you don't deserve it. I hope you know that as you're sitting there. Satan loves to keep plaguing us with those things. And oftentimes, Satan tells us that you just cannot forgive yourself. You shouldn't let yourself off the hook. Now, an illustration of God's forgiveness is to think of ourselves in a rented house. The landlord is a tyrant who makes life miserable for us. One day, however, a stranger knocks at the door and tells us that he has purchased this home, and that we can now live there free of charge with no rent. We accept this generous offer, even though it makes absolutely no sense. But a few weeks later, the old landlord appears. He comes to collect rent. He blames us for all of the problems on the house. He harasses us. What should we do? Should we feel sorry for him? No, the answer is to tell him to take up his problem with the new owner, with the new landlord. Well, truth is that Satan comes around. He comes to prowl around the premises of our lives, seeking to collect rent that has already been paid. He wants each one of us to worry over back payments. He wants us to try harder, to think that we can somehow earn our own forgiveness by simply living better, by simply being more religious, by simply being more pompous, by simply trying to be better than that other person on, you know, near us or whatever. But our only defense, of course, is to keep telling Satan, take it up with Jesus. Take it up with Jesus. He paid for it all. Take it up with Jesus. Now, you know another major misnomer about forgiveness, which is often proclaimed, it's been proclaimed by certain Christians through the years, is the idea that God is keeping records on us. That somehow he records every one of our sins and every one of our feelings, and he's put it in that big, big book of life, right? I don't know how many of you have had that told you over the years. He somehow put it all in the book of life. And the idea that one day he's going to open up those heavenly files, hopefully they're on computer now and not just in some kind of a big book, but he's going to open up those heavenly files, and we are going to have to face up to every single sin we've ever committed. You're going to hear, you know, on October 30th, you know, whatever, in this year, you did that terrible thing, and you're going to have to face up to that. That often plagues people, and I've known a number of people that have been plagued by that. There are many people who are worrying about what's going to happen when they die. And again, I have known people that have had preachers or teachers or other people through the years and said, you better watch out. You're going to have to face up to that. And people are worried about that, and people wonder what is going to happen on that day. Truth is, however, that is not at all what the Bible stresses. It says that God forgives penitent sinners and does not mark down our sins against us. It says that God has completely cleared the record. He has wiped it clean, and he has washed us as if we were whiter than snow. It promises that as far as the east is from the west, so far has God cast our sins from us. Now, final roadblock to personal forgiveness is the common perception, well, I just don't feel forgiven. There are days I just don't feel forgiven. Yet the truth and assurance of forgiveness has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with whether we feel it or not. Martin Luther one time said that he did not feel as if his sins were forgiven. Rather, he knew they were forgiven because of God's promises in his word. Being forgiven, again, has more to do with what Jesus has done for us, not how I feel from day to day. Because the reality is that my feelings are up and they're down. I'm feeling good, I'm feeling bad, I'm feeling bad about myself. Feelings always go up and down. Therefore, to know this truth and to trust in Jesus can lead us to receive that personal gift of forgiveness that God has for you and for me. It can help us to know that healing peace which only God can give. Now, two closing illustrations. In medieval times, there was a rule that when you were coming to church, people needed to leave their weapons and they needed to leave all of their goods and whatever else outside the church, and then they could come into the sanctuary and worship. And there was actually a place for people to leave these things. Now, we've been to Norway. Some of you have been to Norway or some of these places. The stave churches over there, there's actually an alcove outside. You put down your whatever burdens you would have, you'd put your weapons over here. There was a place to do that. You'd go in and worship, and then you could leave. You would pick all those things up as you would leave that place. Now, I think that's kind of true of many of our lives today. We often come to worship, like maybe you came today. You leave your burdens of sin outside the door, and then you come into worship. We sing, we confess, we pray, we share in Holy Communion, we hear God's promises. But then we leave. We pick up our burdens again. Sometimes people even leave the worship today. They're still angry at that person just when they came in. They leave worship today and they're still trying to get revenge at somebody. They leave today and they don't feel much peace in their hearts because they're still in turmoil about something that happened in their lives. I've always said it's interesting that people sometimes come, we hear the promises of Holy Communion. People say, I'd love to have communion. We hear the promise that God has forgiven all of our sins, and we go out and we can't forgive a neighbor for what they have done. Have we really heard the message? We leave our burdens at the door, we come to worship, and we pick them up when we leave. That's often true in our lives. The true message of forgiveness is that Jesus calls you and me to leave all of our burdens today at the foot of his cross, to give them all to Jesus. Jesus wants to take our sins, whatever they might be, whatever burden there is in our lives, whatever stain we are looking through every day, he wants to take all of those sins so that we can be completely free. Now, a second illustration is of a person that I talked with one time who told me that he often goes hunting out in Wyoming each fall. And he said that there's a farmer, kind of a distant relative or a rancher out there, who says that he can hunt on his land, this beautiful mountainous and hilly land. The only stipulation that this rancher has said is that when you move from area to area, he says, make sure you close the gate behind you. When you move from area to area, make sure you close the gate behind you. And I think that's Jesus' message, personal message, to you and to me this morning. As we confess our sins, as we hear his promises of forgiveness, then we need to shut the gate behind us. We need to let go of those sins and forget about them. We need to leave the past behind and move into the wonderful opportunities that God has in store for each and every one of us. Now, in closing, I want to remind you of a few verses from a beautiful psalm, and I'd encourage you to read this several times this week, Psalm 103. It says these unbelievable words. The Lord is compassionate and
gracious,
slow to anger, abounding. Just listen to that word, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our
sins deserve,
or repay us according to our iniquities. Thank God he doesn't. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so
great is his love
for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. My prayer for each and every one of you today is that you will find that personal healing and personal newness in God's love and forgiveness, that you will be able to forgive yourself, and that you will be able to forgive those who may have hurt you in your life. Let me pray for you. Loving God, forgiveness is a hard thing. We often say words of confession, even when we come to worship, and we just toss off words. We say them without thinking about them. We say, oh, now I just confess my sins. But then we go and we continue to live with that burden in our lives. We continue to carry those hurts in our lives. We keep seeing people and we're mad at them or whatever. Lord, help us to really understand what forgiveness is all about. It's to leave our sins at your cross and to hear that through your blood and through your love, we are washed clean. We are set free so that we can serve you each and every day. Lord, we pray for each one here that this personal message of forgiveness might truly live in our hearts and in our lives. And all God's people said,
Amen.